would say in here, since you know Jesus, there have been some drastic reconstructions going on. It should be almost everyone. When you know Jesus, things get to change. They don't have to change. They get to change. Because it's better for us. We get to change. You know, the thing about it, when we step into that arena with Jesus, encountering Him full force, we turn from trash to treasure, from garbage to gold. Our potential is no longer trapped in what our ability will produce, but now our potential is in who He is and what He can do. There's a fact. God can take a formless and worthless, enter our names, lump of clay, and turn it into a meaningful masterpiece of His work. That's the kind of creation God can do with us. Take a form. We're just clay. We're dirt. God formed us from nothing, and He can turn us into a meaningful masterpiece. That's why Paul was saying, I was trying to be successful on my own terms apart from God. Sure, I looked like I had it all, including my knowledge about God, but I was hopeless. I was mistaken. Now that I see the real difference, I look at all my old accomplishments and pride as a thing of the past, the old me, worth nothing. Now I have a real reason to live, a purpose birthed in heaven, and it is mine because of His grace, by faith in Him. I may not be perfect, I'm far from it, but I will no longer let my past dictate my future. I leave it behind. It died when I was reborn in Jesus. I'm a new person with a new cause in Christ. I've found my real purpose and destiny. I will let nothing stop me now. I will run towards Him with all my heart and life. I know that if I do not give up or sit down, that He will give me the strength to press on for ultimate reward of being with Him forever in heaven. It's my interpretation of what Paul was saying and how he felt. You know, it reveals the heart of Paul. The verses we read in Philippians 3 reveals the heart of Paul and the very essence, the very gut-level essence of true Christianity. He gives us a primer on what it takes to be a disciple. And his greatest pursuit was to know Christ and to experience Him, and to experience Him in a personal way. You ever notice that we always have time for the things that are important for us? The things that are really important to us, we make time for. Is that not true? Once you start school, like university, those of you that are students, you recognize that your life is no longer your own, especially if you want to stay in school. And you make time for those things because at that point, it's important to you. When Christ is important for us, we make time. We take time. We make commitment, you know? It's just like every Sunday. Most of you people don't understand. We come in and we sit down in the chair, we drink coffee, and we talk and yak and leave, and that's great. But some of you don't see what starts here at 9 a.m. You know what I mean? Actually, it can start earlier than that because we have to load things and get here, and there are things here. And sometimes don't get out here till 3 p.m. And you know what? Not complaining. But it takes commitment. You know? If we believe in something, then we have time for something. Amen? It's the way it works. And we're blessed with people here that are willing to spend their time to come in early and move chairs and set up microphone cables and try to fix things that don't work most of the time, by the way. And do all that. Why? Because they believe that God wants to show up and touch your life. That's the bottom line. It takes commitment. Paul was driven by his passion, number one on the screen, to really know Jesus personally as well as know his ways, his nature, and his character. I mean, you know, I can talk about, since I'm from America originally, I can talk about Barack Obama, the president of the United States. You know, I can do all that. But I just know about him. I kind of know what he looks like, got big ears. You know, I kind of know those things. But I don't really know him. You know what I mean? I don't know what his character is like. I don't know what he's like when no one's looking. I don't know what the guy's like. And to know Jesus is different than just to know about Jesus, but to really get personal with Christ, you know? I shared a quote last week by Oz Guinness on his definition of calling, and he said it this way, a calling in the Lord, you know? He said, calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and energy lived out as a response to his summons and his service. We're all called then, huh? All called. When we know Jesus, there's no option plan C or B. It's just Jesus, plan J. Jesus. You know, Paul understood this when he said, I consider everything lost compared to knowing Christ Jesus. Everything else was. He knew that job number one was to get to know a Savior and to pursue him with full out passion. It's something I call the passion of pursuit. The passion of pursuit. He passionately pursued Jesus. Passion of pursuit. You know, it's really sad when you talk to people, where's your life going? I don't know. I'm just kind of hanging out. I'm waiting for my ship to come in, whatever that means. You know, I'm just kind of treading water here a bit, just cruising. The passion of pursuit. We need to have that in a relationship with Christ. We need to be passionately pursuing after him with everything that's within us. Probably figured out I like catchy sayings like one of them that I've used a lot. To get somewhere before, you've got to do some things you've never done before. Probably heard me say that. I like those things because they speak a simple truth about what we tend to make sometimes an overcomplicated truth. Sometimes we just overcomplicate things. That's why I like things like, hey, we have enough time to do for the things that we really want to do. Simple. You know, we can't expect different results if we use the same ingredients time and time again. Anyone here like chocolate cakes? You like chocolate cakes? Would you like to have one after the service? If I said there was one in the back, would you start to drool a little bit? Okay. Well, there is not. sorry. But I like chocolate cakes, too. I prefer chocolate cakes over white cakes. Just my thing. But, you know, if I'm baking a cake, which fat chance you'd see me do that. But if I was baking a cake and I wanted to make a chocolate cake, and every time I baked that chocolate cake, it turned out white because I wasn't putting chocolate in it. As much as I like chocolate cake, until I change my recipe, I'm never going to get chocolate cake. I got to learn to put chocolate in that recipe to get chocolate cake. And sometimes we get the same results because we don't change anything in the way we're living our life for God. There are many of us here, probably some of us at least, that are frustrated in our own personal walk with Jesus Christ. Some of you may be sitting here going, you know what? I'm just getting tired of this whole thing. Well, you know what? You're cooking with the same old ingredients. You're expecting a chocolate cake, but you're not putting chocolate in the recipe. You're not taking the effort. You're not willing to change the recipe up. You're not willing to look at what you're doing wrong to get the end result that God already has for you. And then it was so easy for us to blame God, isn't it? God, you see all these people that need healings. You're a mean God. Really? And Jesus said to us, he said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But do we ever do that? That's why you see us up here sometimes doing this. That's not because, oh, I'm so spiritual. You know, it's because in Jesus' name, I agree. I want to exert effort and faith towards that person's situation. Oh, they may be on a screen, one-dimensional and all that stuff. They may not have a clue that you or I are praying for them. But you know what? God does. And God sees. And God responds to our faith. Just like Luke up here that Cedric was talking about. There's a guy, an unbeliever. All of a sudden, things begin to happen. He's like, well, maybe you should continue to pray. I think it's because God's trying to get a hold of his heart. God cares much more about our eternity than he does about our well-being on planet Earth. Truth be it known. I used to tell moms all the time when I was a youth pastor, they come, oh, Pastor Kent, my son is, you know, he does this and he comes home and he comes whenever he wants. And, you know, and I said, well, maybe you need to, you know, or they'll say something that he's done illegally. I said, well, maybe you need to turn him in. My son? I said, yeah, your son. Maybe you need to get a little tough on your kid. Maybe it would be better. And I would even tell him, you know what? It's better that your son would go to prison and he found Christ than to stay out of prison and have eternity in hell. I mean that 100%. And we think everything has to be just, oh, it has to be perfect. You know, everything's pink icing, you know. Christ says, no, I care about the person's soul and their eternity more than I care about how happy they are right this second. In God's economy, he thinks a lot bigger than we do. Our life is but a breath. And then it's eternity. So to know Christ means to be instructed by his word, to be led by his spirit, and respond when he deals with us by his Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So you want to know Jesus? Get in his word. You'll know about his character. You'll know about his heart. You'll know about his purposes. You'll know about his will for your life. Said enough with that. Paul was also driven in his passion to be found in Jesus. I like that because you say found. His identity was wrapped up not in who he was, but in who Jesus is. He wanted to be known as like Jesus instead of being known as Paul, the intelligent guy that had been educated at the finest university. He wanted to say, no, I want people to see him in me. I want my identity now to look like him. He gave up everything, and all those things that everyone else would say were symbols of success, he gave them up just to find his identity in Christ. Let me ask you a quick question. Did Jesus have concern for the lost and show them the way when he was walking the earth? Did Jesus have concern for the lost? Okay, you can paw twice, you can nod your head, you can whatever. Okay. He did. Did Jesus care about the poor, the sick, the downtrodden, the widows, and the children? He did. Okay. Did Jesus, so far you're doing well, you got 2 out of 2. Did Jesus desire to release those who are bound in darkness and oppressed by the devil? Yes, there is a devil. Yes, Jesus saw that. Yes, Jesus did that. Was Jesus willing to be inconvenienced to touch someone at their point of need? Yes, I believe so. I believe Jesus would go out of his way to touch a widow. Or a woman with a sickness, an issue of blood. Did Jesus encourage others to follow him? Yes, follow me. Did he strongly warn others about the dangers of sin? Yep, he did that too. Was Jesus motivated by humility and love for other people? Yeah, I think that was his probably motive, love. If that's what Paul meant by being found in him, then can we say that we know him too? Do those questions apply to us? I mean, I say that for myself. It's a little bit of a measuring stick. Jesus said, you know, things you've seen me do, run along and do them too. That's paraphrased, of course. But Jesus said, now, your turn. You go do it. Paul said, nothing in this life matters except to gain Christ and to be found in him. Paul was also driven in his passion to number 3, and this is the last one. Paul was driven by his passion to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. Yeah. I remember when I got saved and I didn't feel anything. I know some people, oh, I just feel like this burden, you know, and the birds, da, 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 you know, deer dancing and stuff. And I was like, okay, said the magic words. You know what I mean? That's kind of the way I was because I was kind of testing the thing out. But it wasn't until I had a real encounter after that with Jesus and I experienced his power in my life that transformed me and revolutionized the way I even thought about who God was and about Christians in general, really about church. Because now I no longer saw church as a painful place to be. where it was boring and dead and dry, and there are many like that, by the way. But I saw it as a place where God wants to meet with his people and totally would show up. So Paul was driven by his passion, a pursuit to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. Paul wasn't willing just to play church and just to come hang out. Paul said, I want everything he said. I want that. If he said it, I believe it. I'm going for that. He wanted to experience this renewal of life. This complete with the deliverance from sin and the Holy Spirit's power to anoint us as effective witnesses, complete with healings, miracles, as well as eternal life in Christ. There's something about experiencing the power of Christ where you see the evidence of him working in your life and in those around you. We're going to be, last year, it was about this time, a little later, we did a whole series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking more about the Holy Spirit. Not afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't the boogeyman. The Holy Spirit doesn't have big teeth. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do weird things. The Holy Spirit is the character of Christ acted out right now as we're here in this room. God is already in heaven. Jesus is going at the right hand of the Father. He goes, I go that another may come. He's the comforter. It is necessary for you. You're going to be happy. I went so he could come. Because he's going to show you and teach you all things. He's going to guide you. He's going to empower you to do the very things that I asked you to do. Is that important stuff? Wow. I think that is like top of the list right there. If God wants us to be successful as Christians, the Holy Spirit, the experiencing the power of God through our lives is a crucial step in seeing that what God can accomplish in our lives. Talk about potential. That is potential right there, ready to be lit, activated, and expressed through us. That's what God wants to do. It wasn't about just knowing Jesus and being found in Jesus. Paul didn't want religion without substance. He didn't want relationship without a new identity and a purpose. And he didn't want renewal without an experience. And people say, well, you're one of those Pentecostal guys. You bet I am. I love the Holy Spirit. I've seen what he can do. And you can tell me all day long, I don't believe in that stuff. That's okay, because I do. Because I have seen way too much, and I know exactly what he's capable of. And to me, it's like everyone should experience this. Because that's our God. Damascus Road, we believe in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus. We believe in salvation, that all men are sinners. We are. We've all made mistakes. Call it what you want. It's sin. And that all men are sinners, and we are all savable only by God's grace through the one God-man, Jesus Christ. There isn't another one. There's not Buddha. There's not, you know, all the other names, all the other synonyms that we try to make out there. But there's only one that's true, and that's Jesus Christ. We believe there are no alternative ways. We believe that the Holy Spirit convicts and empowers us to change and that God delivers us from the lives of sin and not to return again to the old ways of life. We believe that God uses a church as his body to be the collective witness to a fallen world. As we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to perform signs, wonders, and miracles through us as a witness of God's power and love for his creation. It should not seem strange. It should not seem cultish because these are God's own promises. We believe it is for everyone who is sincere in his or her pursuit to know Jesus, period. Done deal. You want to know a little bit about this church? I just told you a whole lot. Done deal. There's a cost. Salvation wasn't cheap. Likewise, it takes a personal investment from our end. You know, and too often, we can settle for casual Christianity. You know what I mean? Just coasting, casual Christianity. Got my Jesus shot, joined the club, hanging out. Fellowship's great. Casual Christianity, not going anywhere really. With all its watered down views of sin and what it means to know Christ, just this casual approach, as well as neutering of the Holy Spirit. Or we can pursue with a passion that Paul had, who said everything else is trash. I like Paul was just so clear. You want everything else? That's trash. He said, I mean, here's a guy that could talk for hours about anything, and he says, it's all trash. He reduced it to rubble just that quick. The power of passion. Here's a quote. One person with passion is better than 40 who are merely just interested. One person with passion, worth more than 40, can do better. You know, I don't know, some of you that have been here a while know, we've talked about, you know, what I do, and I don't know how long I'm going to be here at Damascus Road, really. Been here for three years. But one thing I hope to have imparted this church before I ever leave, I'm not saying this is tomorrow, so don't, unless you're planning to make me chocolate cakes and stuff, then I'm leaving tomorrow, then you can bring. One thing I hope to have imparted to this church before I leave is the desire to want to be more like God in His completeness and to stop at nothing to get there. If I can do one thing, if I can inspire anyone to do that, then this 3 years plus has been worth it to me. And I pray that this church continues with that same thought and view and impetus. You know, maybe one day when I'm sitting in my wheelchair in some nursing home or, God forbid, sitting in my wheelchair, and maybe I'll hear a faint voice or something coming down the hall, and I'll pick up, that's a Dutch accent. And you do have an accent, by the way, as much as you try not to. It's okay. I have one, too, you know. Yeah, well, it's true. And I can pick it up. And so, you know, I go, well, hey, what part of the Netherlands are you from? Oh, well, I'm from Maastricht. Really? Hey, have you ever heard of a church called Damascus Road? Oh, yeah, that church has changed the spiritual climate of the Netherlands. That's what I want to hear. And I can go, yeah, fantastic. Simply because people are passionate pursuers after the Lord and believing their potential isn't in them, it's in Him. And all things are possible because of that. So that's what this message is about today. For Tanasha that wants to know what the... He woke up. For Tanasha that wants to know... Sorry, man, I didn't mean to interrupt your beauty sleep. But no, he wasn't sleeping. He's always taking notes. But our power verse for next week is going to be Philippians 3:13b through 14. And in verse 12, and I used this in the press here a while back, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. The next part, please. But one thing I do, I like that. Paul just says, you want to know? Here it is. One thing. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Man, can you see the passion in this? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Way to go, Paul. Hopefully that's our spirit and that's our heart